Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. I want to ask you a question. What do you do when you're in prison? I know probably 99% of the people listening say, hello, Greg. I'm not in prison. Well, you know what? I've been doing the ministry thing vocationally full-time for 10 years and bivocationally the last 6 years. And like I said, 99% of the people I know are not in physical prison, penitentiary, behind physical bars, but a lot of them are in emotional and mental prisons. And I think a lot of you that are listening, I get it. And what I mean by that is there's wounds, things that happen to you, either as a child, verbal things that were said to you, maybe things that happened to you if you're sexually violated as a child or physically abused, or just even throughout your life, maybe as an adult, a divorce, when somebody tells you, hey, I don't love you anymore. Or your boss calls you one day at work and says, I'm sorry, but your services are no longer needed here at our company and your position is being eliminated. And there can be wounds that happen like that all throughout our lives and keeps us in a mental and emotional prison of hurt and disappointment, which causes discouragement and unfortunately can even lead to hopelessness, which leads to or results in suicide. And so I want to talk to you today and tomorrow about a passage out of Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 31. And some of you may be familiar. In fact, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a decent amount of time, you probably are familiar with this story, but it's one of my favorite stories because it's a story about Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas were out. You know, Jesus had died and come back alive and went to heaven after being on the earth for a while. And so they are out going and telling people about Jesus. And so it starts out with that they kept having this lady follow him, and she actually was worked for some people. She did fortune telling, and she was always coming up behind them and just always around them, just kind of aggravating them. And finally, at some point, Paul just became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit that was in her, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. Well, of course, you can imagine these people that had this business that she was the main part of, because she was doing fortune telling. It was before you could call in the psychic hotline like we have now, that unfortunately people waste millions of dollars or spend on that type of service, or they wouldn't keep doing them all the time. And so they were not happy that they had cast the spirit out of her, and so they took her to the marketplace to face the authorities and brought her before the magistrates and said, hey, you know, these people are causing problems here and they're violating laws and things, which, you know, they really weren't, but because they were upset about what had happened and hurt their livelihood. So they got the crowd all worked up. And so the magistrates ordered Paul and Silas to be stripped and beaten with rods. Then they were, after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. And the jailer was commanded to guard them very carefully. And so when he received those orders, he even put Paul and Silas in an inner cell, and he fastened their feet in the stocks. So all these guys did was just, you know, cast the spirit out of this woman. And, of course, she was aggravating, following them. And they knew that, you know, she was using God's power and use it for psychic stuff, fortune telling. And these owners got mad when that ended, but they were beaten for that. Before that, they were stripped and humiliated. And, you know, maybe you've been humiliated or humbled because of being a follower of Jesus. And I want to let you know that that's been going on for over 2,000 years. And I know it hurts, and I understand, but I want to encourage you to remember that your labor's not in vain, and that when that happens to you, that it's happened to some of the people that God used the most, that the Bible tells their stories, like Paul and Silas. So Paul and Silas are in jail. They're in an inner cell, and they're fastened. Their feet are in stocks, and so, I mean, they can't even move around. And they're also in pain because they've been flogged, beaten with rods, so they're in physical pain. and they're being locked up. But about midnight, it says in verse 25 of chapter 16 of Acts that Paul and Silas were praying and they were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." Now, can you imagine the relief of that jailer? As you know, the magistrates had told him to put them in an inner cell and have them fasten their feet in stocks, and if they disappear, this jailer knew that he would lose his life. But can you imagine the relief when Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here"? So the jailer called for the lights. He rushed in. He fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out of the jail and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now I want to ask you the question, if you're not a follower of Jesus, what's keeping you from being saved? You've seen miracles, and you've seen other people that have been saved, and God's done miraculous things, and yet you have still refused to surrender your one and only life to Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you today, what is it that God has to do for you to be saved? I mean, Easter and Christmas, you love those seasons, and you rejoice in the baby of Jesus, and all the celebration that goes on with the birth of God's one and only Son. Then at Easter, you always go to church with that. And yet, you just haven't surrendered your one and only life to Jesus. I really want to challenge you to think about that. And we'd love to talk to you about that. You can contact me. Go to our website, hopeishere.today. And my email is on there. Love to get a conversation going with you and talk to you about surrendering your one and only life to Jesus Christ like this jailer did. And when the jailer asked that, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And you know, that's one of the things that's amazing. I think research shows, I want to say it's 80% of men, it's a high percentage, if they become followers of Jesus Christ, the ripple effect on their children and families, spouses, is 80% of the rest of the family becomes followers of Jesus. It's huge. And so the jailer and his family became followers of Jesus. And it says, then the jailer took them and he washed their wounds. Then he immediately after that, he and all his household were baptized by Paul and Silas. The jailer then brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. And so I share this passage of scripture today in Acts chapter 16, verses 16. So that's easy to remember. If you're driving, you're like, "Man, I want to read that." Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Starts at verse 16, and I've read here through verse 34. So I want to encourage you to check that passage out. But there's several takeaways that God spoke to me when I read this passage recently, and I want to share those things with you. There's six things that spoke to me, and maybe they'll speak to you also. But the first thing that I want to speak to you about from this passage is, you know, sometimes we have to command those negative thoughts in our minds and hearts to leave. Sometimes we have to command those negative thoughts in our minds and hearts to leave. And I'm basing that off what Paul said to the fortune teller when he turned to her and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, that spirit left her. But I know that there's people listening that they've got a spirit of discouragement, maybe a spirit of depression. And you know what? I want to tell you that if you're a follower of Jesus, you can command that to leave. And I've shared with you, there's been times in my life that, you know, I've done some good Christian counseling and was on an antidepressant for a season. But you know what? I have found now one of the best ways that I battle that, and not taking the medication, and I do see a Christian counselor. I get checkups. It's like you get oil changes for your car over 3,000 miles. Every few months, I go and have an appointment and kind of process things in my heart and mind with a good Christian counselor. But you know what? One of the things that I've found that's helping me so much over the past several years is just speaking to those things when I have those thoughts and those things in my mind and heart that I feel discouraged or depressed, and quoting scripture over that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms." That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We're dealing with that. There are spirits and rules. They want to take us out. They want you to be discouraged. And yet, I want to remind you that if you're a child of God, that you can quote scripture. Psalm 28:7, I shared, it's a verse that helped get me through the most difficult season in my life about 18 years ago. And it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you, Lord, and I am helped. I love that. When you just feel like you can't go on, the Lord is your strength. And when you feel like, you know, the whole world's against you, you don't feel like you have the support of family or friends or coworkers, he's your shield. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in you, Lord, and I am helped. That's one of those Bible verses that at that time I wrote Psalm 28:7, wrote that on post-it notes, stuck it in my bathroom mirror, the dashboard of my car, my laptop computer when I was working throughout the day. I stuck one in my wallet because I just needed to be reminded that God was my strength and my shield, and that when I trusted him, gave him my heart, that I was helped. You know, I shared before that my dad didn't become a Christian until he was 50, but God literally transformed him the last couple years of his life. One of the things that he would say when you would get on the phone, he'd say, "Son," and I'd say, "Yes, Dad." And I would think maybe he wanted me to, you know, do something with him or help him with something. So I'm like, "Yes, Dad." He's like, "Remember, you're loved and you're blessed." And, you know, my dad's been gone now about 3.5 years, and he was one of my best friends. And, man, I miss him greatly. But you know what? I've never forgotten those words. And there's been mornings where I've had to get up, and I'm sure you're like me, you're exhausted. And I worked for about a year for Pepsi Cola. And I had to get up at 4 a.m. to be at work at 5 a.m. And, you know, the words, I can remember saying those words sometimes when I would get in the shower and say, "I don't know how I'm going to do this today." And I would just say those words, "Greg, you're loved and you're blessed. You're loved and you're blessed. And I'm loved by God." I don't mean it, you know, I'm talking about not my earthly dad, but my heavenly father. I'm loved because of Jesus, and I'm blessed because I'm a child of his. And it was amazing after I would say that a few times how God, I just would feel that spirit of encouragement, and I would just have a second win and get some energy and go. And maybe that's something you need to do. In fact, I'm so fortunate, a friend of mine actually had that made for me and put on a sign, a little small, probably like a 6x8 canvas. And I've got that sitting on my dresser at home. And when I'm getting ready in the morning, I see that every morning as I get ready to leave my bedroom and go to work. I just see that. And I need to be reminded that I'm loved and blessed, and so do you. But sometimes you have to command those negative thoughts in your minds and hearts to leave. And so I hope you'll stand on what God says you about you, not the world. Well, I'm out of time today, but I'm going to continue some other points that we can apply to our lives from this story in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. I hope you'll join us tomorrow again. My name is Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Are you allergic to gluten and struggle to find good-tasting gluten-free food in Central Kentucky? Well, I've got great news. Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe is locally owned and located conveniently in Lexington, off Nicholasville Road, right behind Jeff's Car Wash. Everything is made from scratch and gluten-free. They also have options for those on the paleo, keto, and vegan lifestyles. And for pumpkin lovers, they have their seasonal items out now. For more information, you can check them out online at glutenfreemiracles.com. That's glutenfreemiracles.com.